Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
All right, we're back. Again, substituting on this Wednesday morning for Steve, it is Seth Merrill and Chuck Simon. Steve, doing a little traveling this week, as you have noted over the past couple of days, as he's been out of town checking in, but doing some touristy things today, I believe, Chuck.
Yeah, Steve took an early meet soiree over to the ponies in the ocean today.
Ponies?
Messing with ponies in the ocean. You'll probably buy one, bring one back. Try to get it in by the end of the meet.
I'm sure on tomorrow's program, or tomorrow's program, I don't think you'll have to wait for tomorrow's program. We will get a Twitter account, I am sure, of that situation a little bit later today. But I'm sure he will also fill folks in as far as how it all played out on tomorrow's program. But on today's program, as promised before the break, happy to be joined now by John Shapazian, who handicaps for the Saratoga Special, does so very ably, perennially the amongst the leaders, but has been the leader recently in the most recent years. John, good morning.
Good morning, Chuck.
Let me get your
John.
Microphone on there.
You got me good?
I got you. I just didn't have you turned on. But I have you turned on now and ready to roll with some thoughts for this afternoon. Before we get to that, talk a little bit about how the meet's been so far.
Excellent, excellent. No complaints, competitive fields. Larger than normal, maybe?
Well-sized, question about it, except some of the stakes, right, like today's stake. But Clary and Malafat, you're happy to get a duel like that.
Hate to have a loser.
Yeah. No, there's just, no question just, about it.
And Secret Oath, and I fell in love with Secret Oath. But what a performance by Ness. I mean, just,
crazy good performance by Ness. And that I said from the beginning of the year, as the year progressed, I said in the various divisions, we are getting horses that will probably end up at Saratoga and are really setting things up for some nice stakes action. I think that's the way it's played out so far.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even today's fourth race is only four horses in it, but boy, you know, is it the fourth race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Honorable Miss, or the fifth, Honorable Miss.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It is the fourth. That's my mistake. It is with Bella Sophia and Frank's Wreckette in there.
And how many of these are going to show up for the Ballerina? Maybe all of them. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, again, the various divisions shaping up very nicely, and that will include, of course, the three-year-old division with the Jim Dandy and the Travers as well.
That's every time you turn the page, you know, I mean, just, you know, it's one guy. A lot of times I hate to see these champions meet because one of them's got to lose. Whatever. It is what it is.
But then we get to the end of the year and they actually crown the champions, and it's always fun to look at the Eclipse winners and think back, oh, that one's at Saratoga, that one's at Saratoga.
Those are the ones I root for, by the way.
No question about it. All right. I pulled up scratches, so as we go along, I will mention scratches. And
That's in the sixth race, I needed a scratch to get my horse in.
Oh, okay. Nice. And in this, we're kind of going to roll through the late pick five sequence and get some of your ideas. And that kicks off today in the sixth race. Sixth race, we are going to lose the 1A, the 8, and the 12. So Bantera, the number 11, gets in for Steve Asmus in a practical joke. First time starter. From the way you're talking, I'm assuming you're liking that one. I have it 6-2-4.
Well, it's almost the same. It's also a practical joke horse.
Yeah, I have it 6-2-4 and 11 with Disruption, the practical joke horse. Yep. And a sibling called Kept Waiting that took five starts to win, but subsequently won five times in the first 11 starts of the career, Chad Brown and Klarovich. Yeah. So I tilted towards the number six in there.
Yeah. That seems familiar. I just, Orient Moon, is that correct? No?
Yeah, had the her career, I didn't look up her stats exactly, but you're right. Yeah. That is a familiar name. Yeah. But your thoughts in the six, are you going to lean towards the AE?
Yeah, I had Anthony Romito on this morning because I thought he was going to pick the same horse. And he didn't. He calls this the competitive edge angle.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that?
No.
Oh, make it real quick. Back 10 years ago, Pletcher has the first horse in the AE list called competitive edge, first-time starter. Chad Brown has, in the middle of the field, a multi-million dollar two-year-old purchase. Morning line, I'm going to guess even money. I can't remember the name of the horse. The AE list for Pletcher, morning line, competitive edge. I think, let me just say 5-1, but again, I don't really remember. And I'm saying, I bet if this horse is ready, Pletcher's going to stick it right to him. And son of a gun, there's a scratch in the race. And I'm almost wondering whether he kind of leaned on somebody, you know. Okay, so the odds open up. Competitive edge, 4-1, 5-1 morning line, opens up 4-5. Okay, and wins for fun. Wins, I think he paid $320 to win. Okay, and I'm almost looking at this race, and that's what I think Anthony Romino calls the competitive edge angle. The breeding obviously is good. New York bred, but he's working in Kentucky. Obviously, with probably no intent of ever running in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And one thing I like about it, there aren't that many works. He's ready to go. Your horse looks good, but there's probably maybe 12 works.
Yeah.
And which means he hasn't been the most precocious. This horse, and the thing is, too, if there had been a scratch and he had not drawn in, I would have said, okay, I was wrong. But there's a scratch, and guess what? I'm running.
Yeah.
And got Jose. Was he morning line? Was he 5-1?
5-1 morning line.
Let's see what he get. Okay,
yeah.
I could be eating crow.
Well, you could be very happy with the angle if not price wise, but the whole angle gets validated if he opens up at 4-5.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what he does. So whatever. So.
I'm right with you. I have the horse in the mix, getting in from the AE list. But as I say, I use the two. Bolty Oros, and I have the Chad on top, and then the two Bolty Oros in the mix as well. He's just off such a crazy start. Chuck, do you look at the sixth?
It's kind of, it's a tough race. I the one thing I did notice was that every single entrant in the race is by a non-New York bred base or non-New York based stallion.
Oh, well,
all Kentucky stallions. So it's, this isn't your father's New York.
Yeah, your typical. Yeah, that's
basically just a like a normal open maiden race.
But right, and look at the prices they were paid for them too.
Yeah, big money and
big money.
Two Bolt d'Oro's both ran good first time, and Bolt d'Oro has had a spectacular record.
Yeah.
Horses have come out running, to say the least.
No, it's been a crazy record so far.
This is a good race. I mean, there seems like there's quite a few in here working well that have not spectacular pedigrees, million-dollar pedigrees, but you know, must have the physicals to go along with the stallion power. And like you said, you got to see how the board says in these races.
Well, 2 year olds
go from there.
You would think that some legitimate New York bred 2 year olds would come out of this race. It's a fun sixth race, seventh race today. $40,000 claimers, mile and a 16th on the grass. At this point, there are no scratches in the race. I took a little shot with Mirth and Merriment. Hatari is the 9-5 morning line favorite. I just, off the last race, I couldn't quite pull the trigger there. I put that one down in the third spot. Mirth and Merriment on top, Fish Mooney in the second spot. John, what you see?
Exactly what you had. I had Hatari on top, though. I kind of threw the last race out. I'm not certain why.
I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I didn't know. It just doesn't fit. And, he draws the rail. He's got to, that's going to help. IRAD's not going to hurt.
He's also dropping in for the tag, and I debated, does that mitigate things? But I took a little shot against
it. Was that when Santana was in his real cold slump there?
Beginning of June, end of May.
May had a real bad spell.
Could have been.
I don't recall.
But, stepping out of those Churchill, they're saltier starter allowances, so with the drop, certainly can make the case there. But I thought Mirth and Merriment in from the Presque Isle Synthetic. I went back to his turf races down at Tampa, which I think may be good enough in here. So, again, I thought maybe get a little touch more of a price
Is he the horse that's going to be on the lead?
You would have to think so, right?
And that
may be in this field of six. It does seem like he is going to be the notable speed. She may be able to steal it in here, Junior Alvarado on board. So we'll see how that one works out. Chuck, any thoughts on the seventh?
Yeah, I mean, Mirth and Merriment has a huge pace advantage in here. A little disappointing to see only a six-horse field for a $72,000 purse.
Yeah, for 40 claimers and 70.
The others, the six that are in here, aren't exactly the second coming of Goldakova.
Right.
So, guys, take a shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. A straight three-year-old claimer is not a what you would imagine as an open 40 claimer, which are tough horses.
Yeah.
A straight three-year-old race is, when I was training, that was what we always looked for, was three-year-olds that could run in claiming races, because they were always a lot softer, and sometimes people got intimidated because you see a 50 claimer, and those horses run 98 buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a 50 claimers with straight three-year-olds might run a 75 buyer. So you're running for the same purse. But Mirth and Merriment seems to have a huge pace advantage in this race, and that no one else really has much speed at all.
Right.
So she's going to play catch him if you can.
Yeah, you would think so. We'll see.
Eighth
race today.
Blink is on the two horse. That may make a difference. And those, the one and the two are both maker horses. So it's an uncoupled entry, but I wonder if that's some pressure will come from that horse.
Taking a little half step down the claiming ladder.
Yeah.
To me, it does look like Mirth and Merriment is going to be the one to catch it here. In the eighth race, we are looking at conditional claimers, non-winners of two lifetime, three-quarters of a mile is the trip. I put Ogotten Girl on top. Again, a little speed, Todd Pletcher, preposterous from Safi Joseph. This one makes a class move that I really like and have for years now. State-bred allowance into an open claimer, an open conditional claimer, even better. I may kick myself that I didn't put preposterous on top with that class move. But, John, what did you see?
Yeah, same thing, yeah. I think they're going to be shaking for Ogotten Girl after the race. There'll be lots of people in there shaking. And like the post position, you've got the speed. I wonder if she has to have the lead, maybe she does. But boy, and I've got no problem betting a Pletcher drop down to 16,000. I'm certain he wants to get rid of her, but she's probably good enough to win.
There will be a lot of shakes, no question about
it.
The claim box has been very popular so far this year up at Saratoga. Yeah. I was looking the other day at the claim report, and one claim, there was 22 shakes.
22?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
A friend of mine is like 1 for 11. Shakes, not very happy.
With those kind of numbers, I completely understand why. Right. Chuck, what did you think of the 8th?
I mean, clearly the 8 is going to be a huge favorite and is going to be on the lead. I thought the 6 was interesting. Majestic Spirit picks up Johnny V off of a non-effort for Rich Schossberg this spring, comes back, puts her in. I mean, her first three races were all pretty decent, so.
Yeah, the last almost looks like an aberration.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't think that that Mr. Velasquez would be
second around
mounts on horses that he didn't have some, at least a good story on, and Rick can... Rick can strike at a price, and right. I mean, Ogotten Girl is, it's easy to circle her, but we've seen these times get beat too. I mean, she's been stopping badly in her races on the turf.
Yeah, and if you're playing a pick four or a pick five, this is the even money on the morning line, and this is the kind of horse that maybe some people would think, I'm going to single. This would not be a single for
not
me.
At all.
This would be a race where I'd hope I'd get past. I'm not going to leave Ogotten Girl off, but I'm going to hope to maybe add some value beating her.
I mean, to me, I just leave her off, and if I win, I win, I lose, I lose. But if you beat her, it's like really you're juicing your prices because everyone's going to use her.
Yeah,
and even with backup tickets, they're going to use her. So that's just my philosophy. I mean, if you use her, God bless you. But
Well, also it depends on if you have a clever opinion in one of the other races.
Yeah.
Then you can make the case that
her. I honestly don't.
And so
I'm assuming I'm going to be eliminated after race one. So I figure I might as well.
But then it does make sense.
If you're going to lose, get it done early.
to take the shot against. Yeah. And in that 8th. By the way, I'm just looking at the scratches. Bad news for you, Chuck. Majestic Spirit is out.
Oh, well, there
I
am.
I'm just looking here. The number 3, Lady Yellen, and the number 6, Majestic Spirit.
Do I have to take the post-time favorite?
No, well, yeah.
Is that the big rule? And if we make a selection at scratch, we...
No, I think you get the redo.
Okay.
I think you get the redo at 11 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. 9th race, optional claimers, non-winners of 3, a mile the distance. I'm just looking. The 2, the 8, and the 9 are out of this one. So 2, 8, and the 9 are MTOs. The 2, Hobody Meister, was entered in the body of the field. They're out. I have it 5, 4, 1, and 7. I put Mesidor on top. Big favorite is High Opinion. I put that one down in the 3rd spot. I don't argue. Stepping out of stakes company. I may regret where I put that one. But Amalfi Princess in between those two for Mike Maker. I thought Mesidor was kind of interesting. The race 2 back, certainly. And then tried stake company last time. I'll put that one on top. But to me, this is a pretty contentious race where I could have made pretty similar confidence level arguments for a few of them. John, what you see?
When in doubt, I go on the grass race. 2 turns, I always, not always, but I usually go to the inside, High Opinion. Mesidor, if I'm pronouncing it right, obviously a player, as many of them are. I wish she had had some works at Saratoga. She's been at Belmont the whole time. So if I seen a published work, I would have, I think that may have been, it was a toss, and a coin toss, and the fact that High Opinion drew the rail, it's been up since mid-July, it is mid-July, but Mesidor has not. Castellano had a great first day.
Yeah.
He's walking.
No, he's
up.
Having a decent meet.
Yeah, so.
And Saez on Amalfi Princess, the Mike Maker horse, I think that one. But as I say, I could point to almost the rest of the field and make some kind of a case.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a fun little race here. Chuck, what do you think?
The pace seems to be the two horses stretching out that have had some success sprinting, Phantom Vision and Amalfi Princess. I don't think that Phantom Vision is going to be able to get a mile against this quality of horse, which gives Amalfi Princess the jump on High Opinion and Messador. And Messador's one issue in this particular race in a smaller field is that there's pace, but there's not a tremendous amount of pace. And she just might get too far behind. I mean, High Opinion, I bet her against Ruffier, so there's no Ruffiers in here. But this is a tough race to really kind of make heads or tails out of, just because the two favorites and Amalfi Princess just seem like...
Anybody like Evie's Jets on the outside?
I had it down at the bottom of my mix. And, again, I think you could make a pretty good case for that one. And some improving numbers over the first three starts of the career. Yeah. So I wouldn't argue anybody off of that one by any means.
She can take the lead. She can set off the pace.
I just think she's going to wind up three wide.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I always go to the inside. I normally go to the inside on this kind of race. But
I mean, I'd be shocked if Phantom Vision's not on the lead coming out of out of five ace races.
All right, let's take a look at the finale. This is a tough way to wind things up in that pick five sequence.
Boy, is it
10th
ever.
At Saratoga, maiden specials. And they're racing for a mere $105,000, six furlongs the trip.
Exactly.
You talk, John, about kind of in certain situations going in certain ways. People who listen to me enough know a first-time starter from Chad Klarovich at Saratoga is always going to attract my attention.
Yep.
So,
and with IRAD on top. Yeah,
I put a liquidity provider on top.
How can you not? Yeah.
But Adam's Angel,
that
paid
was my
over
pick.
$1 million for this one.
Yeah.
You know, ran second in debut. It was last November. These are the kind that could come back improved with some time off. Right. So I'm going to be interested to see. I would have loved to have known what happened, though, at the auction, that it went for $1,025,000.
Right.
Because usually you get up to $1 million, they're going in $100,000 increments.
Right.
Things must have stalled a little bit.
And also,
let's
too,
get an extra $25,000 in there.
I wonder why the horse went off at 14-1. Now, that's the horse I picked, but you pay. He's $1 million purchase
by Into Mischief.
But but why did he go off at 14-1? You would have thought, something was wrong.
Yeah,
something wasn't right. That's who I picked.
And I have it right underneath. But I put liquidity provider on top. Connect, I think, is a sneaky sire of win early types. There's a sibling called Taylor's Chrome that won in the third career start. Gunrunner, the sire of Course Runner. So I threw that one in the mix as well. And Connect also sires Glitter Up. So I had that one down at the bottom of my mix. But it's another race where I could have pointed to two or three others.
I got one other. Look out for my buddy Nick Zito in this race.
Okay.
Okay? On the 6 horse.
Alicia. All right. Yeah. The debut at Keeneland was an okay effort.
Right. Yeah. And Nick's got to win one here.
Yeah.
Just
for old time's sake.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Chuck, what do you think?
Nick's not going to win this race.
Nick's not going to win? He scratched?
Oh, yeah. I didn't note that.
Forget what I said.
In the 10.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Nick. I put the kibosh to you.
I didn't read the scratches from the 10th. That's the only one.
Yeah.
The number
all
6,
right.
Alessia. Chuck, what do you think?
My guy Barry loves the 11. Dallas Stewart's horse ran well first time out in a strong race at last fall. Adds blinkers and adds Lasix and has the outside post, which in the 6 furlong races can kind of get a feel of what's going on, who's going to send, and should be a square price.
Yeah, can pick and choose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I have any money that left at that point.
Right.
Based upon the early races, I'm thinking that I'm probably going to be broke, so I probably should bet him. First.
Don't forget, you got to parse it out so you can play that pick five at Finger Lakes.
The only race I feel confident about is the steeplechase race.
I like that because, as I said, you got to step up to the plate and make the picks in the steeplechase race, and I like the steeplechase races. So fun day today here at Saratoga. And, John, folks can find your selections in the hard copy of the Saratoga
today.
Special, but folks should also remember that on the days the hard copy isn't printed, they can go to the website. Yeah, this is horseracing.com.
Yeah, they're every day, yep.
So, appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate it.
John, appreciate the visit.
Okay, let's see how that 6 race goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a fun card.
If he opens at 4-5 and loses, I don't care. But if he does nothing, then I care. I'm gonna be sneaking out of here.
It's a fun race, and I think you may be on to something.
Yeah, we'll find out. Good. Okay, Seth.
Appreciate it.
Chuck, good seeing you again.
Like
bye bye.
All right. Take it easy. And also at the table right now, our friend Tim Wilkin in the house. We'll let Tim pop on the headset and we'll have a little conversation with Tim, who typically is, yeah, flip it around the other way. There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, John's talking about my sponsor for my Dark Horse play of the day, the Dark Horse Mercantile downtown. He is noting their horse racing pinball machine, which is probably like 50 years old. It's right up at the front of the store. And I say people go in and just mingle around. Check that out. They have horse racing memorabilia. If you're in town, the Dark Horse Mercantile and Impressions of Saratoga, highly recommended. Tim, good morning.
I don't know why you have me on. You've got Chuck here. I mean, you can't do any better.
The trifecta. It's all three of us.
Chuck's running out of gas.
Chuck's running out of gas?
Yeah.
It's only the 10th day.
That's right.
Or is it
the
racing,
today, just for
the,
today.
The racing hasn't even started
Chuck was
yet.
Up earlier than he normally gets up.
How early was Chuck up?
Well, people text me at 4:30 in the morning, like not like it's not an issue to ask me questions. Hey, when does the stake nomination close at so-and-so? Like, you know,
so you
information,
never sleep.
Please.
So you never sleep. They don't think you sleep.
I generally don't make it up here too early, but, you know, since my retirement, I mean, I trained for 20 years. I worked on the backside for 40 years, and I never really liked getting up early. But that's when the job, that's what it required. So
you got to get back into it.
I don't know. If you hit the Powerball, and for what is it, it's $1 billion now,
I'll be
your private trainer.
All right.
But we even have the same shirts.
Yeah, we do. We got the shark goal.
That's right. We got the start of something here.
I think so.
Oh, wow, that's
now
interesting.
Now I just got to go buy a Powerball ticket.
Got to be in it to win.
Well, now we all have to buy one now that we talked about it.
It's over $1 billion, Seth. I love the people, though, that say, oh, it's only $70 million. I wait till it gets to $100
million. Right?
Because, you know, like $40 million. I mean, who needs that?
Well, Chuck, the game's better when you're in it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I remember being down at Palmetto's a few years ago and grabbing an interview with you as you were training some horses. So when we were down this year, we missed you.
It felt like Palmetto's last week here.
No, it was.
We had that 90 humid feel to it. But
they say it's supposed to come back.
Yeah.
Start of August, we're supposed to get a little heat again.
I'll tell you what, I'll trade 4 or 5 days like that for a day like today.
And I'll take that over the rain, too.
This is perfect.
Speaking of the rain, were you out for the workout the other Monday morning Epicenter?
No, I was not.
No.
I did not come up for that. I'm glad I didn't because it was so...
It was pouring.
It was pouring rain, and I guess it was torrential for a while up here.
But he was out in the morning. Typically, you're out in the mornings, and I will ask you, were you out this morning, and is there any barn news that we should...
Yeah, I was out this morning. I was doing some Vanderbilt stuff, and... kind of talking to some of the trainers that are going to take on the big monster.
And
right now, I mean, it looks like there might be 5 at most. New York Traffic is going to go for Safi. And Dell Stewart's going to have Long Range Toddy. I think that Uriah St. Louis is going to have one too. Toxin.
Yeah.
But I didn't talk to Mr. Asmussen because he doesn't talk to me.
That makes it tough.
Well, it does. It's been since 2017, he kicked me out of his barn and I haven't talked to him since. Ladies and
gentlemen, his loss. Oops. All right, I think we have to stand here for the national anthem because it is that time of day here. And... But we will continue the interview session, as it were. And again, Tim, typically you write for the Times Union, but this year you have moved on. And where can people find your stuff this year?
Well, you want to get into why I left the Times Union?
Well, no, I was just gonna let you tell where you are now.
Well, we can do it whatever you want to do. I'm at the Blood Horse, and I'm also working for mainly the Blood Horse, and I'm. The second banana behind Bob Ehall, who does a good, nice job, and do some stuff for Horse Racing Nation. I'm going where the money is. That's all this, you know, right?
I don't blame you. Talk a little bit about how the meet has been so far from your perspective. We've talked already this morning about the wow performance from Ness this weekend. Clarier and Malathot put on a good show as well. What are your thoughts so far on the stakes action?
Well, I think the interesting thing now is what Ness does next. I mean, you would think the Alabama, but they have not ruled out the Travers. I talked to Mike Rapoli at length the day after, and Todd has said that probably going to go the Alabama, but they're not going to leave. They're going to keep the door open because I mean that was a heck of a performance.
Yes,
and if Ness's in the Alabama, what's she going to be? 2-5? And Secret Oath is definitely says. Wayne says that Secret Oath is definitely going to go to the Alabama. And he wants another shot. It's part of me wants to see the third one. But part of me also would like to see Ness go against the boys. Again.
Well, we were talking earlier. I have said as we came into the summer, the three-year-olds so far have been a little bit undefined, and I was expecting Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby to kind of sort things out. I don't think the Haskell helped things at all. So maybe now Nest is because you and I were in the winner's circle. After the Ness victory, and everybody else had left, and you asked Mike Rapoli about the Travers, and he said, and I said, so you're thinking about it? He said, I'm Mike Rapoli. Of course I'm thinking about it. But I think, given the situation, why not maybe take the shot with the, the three-year-old males still being, as Chuck said earlier, it's 1 week one wins, the next week the next with another one wins.
I would think if Ness were going to Travers and win, would that clinch three-year-old for her?
In the third, you would have to think for her, yeah. Yeah.
In the winter. Another three-year-old would have to win the Classic, right?
I think the one thing that's an advantage for her is that the mile and a quarter, she's well suited for the mile and a quarter. She can probably, as Todd pointed out, probably run a mile and a half. The stamina is not going to bother her at all. Some of the other ones, it still might be a little bit of a question mark. The only thing is you're also passing up the only three-year-old filly mile and a quarter race as well. And there was people on social media talking about, is she better than the older fillies or could she compete? Most of the older filly races in the fall are mile and an eighth races. So you would think that she would be better going a mile and a quarter than she would a mile and an eighth, though she's perfectly fine at a mile and an eighth. It's just hard to say because, I don't know, it's such a strange year for the Colts, and they keep taking turns. And who's the big monster out there that she would be scared off of?
Let's say, for argument's sake, Ness would go to the Travers. Secret Oath goes to the Alabama and wins the Alabama. Ness doesn't win the Travers. And maybe Secret Oath clinches the three-year-old filly division.
Main track is fast. Turf courses are firm.
And Ness might be the better filly.
That's a good point because then Secret Oath would have the Kentucky Oaks and the Alabama, arguably the two most important three-year-old races. So that's a great point.
I think that they're going to talk about it, but I really think that Ness is going to end up in the Alabama. That's what I think. The sexy thing would be to say, yeah, it'd be great to see her run in the Travers. And, she might be second choice if she goes.
Yeah.
And now I see Rich Strike was nominated, West Virginia Derby?
Yeah.
I thought it...
Theoretically, he's coming up here after his next work.
Right.
I mean, personally, it doesn't matter where he goes.
Yeah.
To me, he ran one good race in his life. He really showed his true colors in the Belmont.
Exactly. I think it was a fluke, and that got validated in the Belmont. Yeah. Don't take away. I mean, they won the Kentucky Derby.
That's right.
God bless him. But
if he comes up here, he'll be the most popular horse in the Travers.
Yeah.
Because, up here, I'm saying. Because people remember what happened at the Derby. And, obviously, I don't think he'll win. But he'll be the most popular horse that runs in that race, unless the filly goes.
Lynn Whiting told me something a long time ago. The late great trainer Lynn Whiting said, I was a nobody till I won the Kentucky Derby. He goes, and then once I won the Kentucky Derby, not a single win that I won in all the years I trained mattered except for the Kentucky Derby.
That's Lily T, right?
Yeah, Lily T.
Yeah, yeah, right. I remember. Yeah.
He said, it's the only thing I've known for you. I spent 60 years in the game, and the only thing people remember those 2 minutes. But
no question.
The
yeah.
Derby is such, like doing our podcast, we get so much more interest and feedback yeah. on the Derby and the Derby horses that when we try to talk about something else, everybody kind of shoves us back over, and you wind up talking about that. It's just such a huge thing, and then Churchill has done a great job at kind of capitalizing on it and making it the really what the world revolves around. Thoroughbred racing revolves around the Kentucky Derby and to a lesser extent the other Triple Crown races, but you know, like we said, we're always going to see a 20 horse race or thereabouts in the Kentucky Derby because guys want to run in it regardless, even the ones that don't have much of a chance.
And the people that don't follow this sport follow this sport on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everybody wants to bet the Derby. Everybody wants to be at a Derby party. And, you know, when the Derby winner, obviously, you know, if he goes to the Preakness, then people are still interested. But, you know, if that Derby winner doesn't win the Preakness, then no, the general sports audience doesn't care about the Belmont, which is unfortunate because there's an awful... I mean, Belmont Day is a great day of racing. I mean, it's... But, yeah, having the Derby is like... It's got to be in one of the top five sporting events every year, right?
Yeah.
Got to be.
One of my favorite. I mean, it's recognizable to everyone. You say the Kentucky Derby or the World Series or the Super Bowl. I mean, it's on that level. And in racing, we don't really have anything else that's on that level. And,
right.
You know, the Breeders' Cup is great, and the other Triple Crown races are fine. But the Derby dwarfs that. I trained all those years, and every time someone who didn't know anything about horse racing met me and their first question always was, have you ever run in the Kentucky Derby? Have you ever won the Kentucky Derby?
Right.
And no one ever said, hey, you ever run in a Preakness? You know, hey, you ever win the Honorable Miss?
You ever win the Stephen Foster? Yeah, I hear you. No. I hear you. It's absolutely true.
And unfortunately, sometimes I get a case of this horse skipping the Preakness and kind of messing up things, so to speak. It just makes that... It's just tough when the Derby winner doesn't show up at your race. And I felt a little bad for the people at Pimlico because they didn't do anything wrong.
No.
And, you know, as it turns out, it probably wouldn't have mattered anyways, but it certainly hurt their event by him not being there.
And Pimlico is always such a cool place. I mean, that old barn down there. And
yeah.
They treat everybody great. And, you know, just... I mean, it's in the middle of, like, a ghetto. And,
right.
You know, I used to remember some of the trainers would say, I don't have to worry about my horses waking up. They wake up to the gunshots.
Right. But, you know, but what you're saying is 100% true, though. If Rich Strike runs in the Travers, it makes it a bigger race just because of his presence, especially in a horse-centric area like the Capital District.
Yes. I mean, because of what he did. I mean,
yeah.
And, crazy. I mean, he might take some money. He'll take some money.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the $2 bettors will be all over him.
Yeah.
And they'll be all ticked off when he's not 80 to 1.
He won't take any of mine.
No, he won't take any of mine either.
He will take some money, you know, that's true.
I mean, I just hope he comes. I mean, I know that's the plan. And I talked to Eric Reed 10 days ago. And he wants to get two works into him at Churchill. Move over to Churchill from his training center and maybe get up here maybe 10 to 12 days before the race so we get to get a look at the track too. So
what was your opinion of the Haskell? We were talking earlier, nice run by Taba, but a great trip for Cyberknife. But again, it tossed another monkey wrench in the whole three-year-old picture with Cyberknife winning.
And also with Jack Christopher. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, he's Chad is going to go to the Jerkins. He's, you know, the distance question was answered for him.
Yeah.
And it would have been kind of fun if Chad would have had that one, too. If he would have ran and drawn off, then Chad would have had a huge hand.
Yeah.
He's still got a pretty strong hand going into it. But, you know, Cyberknife, he might be one of those horses that gets good at the second half of the season. Remember, like a horse like Flower Alley? Horses like that that just came on in the second half. Is he one that can do that? I don't know. But he's certainly got to be in the mix now because he won the Hassel.
Yeah.
And he'll be here.
Yeah, and he's looking for this now. Did I read he's headed up here, right?
He might be here by now.
Okay, yeah. That's
Brad is in Kentucky today. A lot of the guys went down to Kentucky for some reason today. Something going on down there?
For me, it's all part of the one meeting.
You know, Dal Stewart's down there. Brad's down there. So,
they might have wanted to get down there before the sale next the week after the sale.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, yeah, as far as...
Get down there so they can be back for...
Right.
Oh, yeah, the sale. Yeah, you're right. That's probably... If you have a string down there and you want to make the visit, now's probably the time. Yeah.
But the only other things I found out today when I was talking to Safi Joseph about White Abario, he might back off on that. He might not head to the Jerkins. He's going to wait and see. But he's thinking, you know, that he might give him some time and maybe point to Parks for the Pennsylvania Derby. Because, you know, he ran a business in Jersey. And, you know, you don't really want to point to something up here after something like that. I mean, it was... He said it was bad.
Progressively worse.
Sorry, just looking
at the text. No, I would be surprised to see him for a few months. He didn't run at all.
No.
I didn't think he ran that great in the Ohio Derby, to be honest with you. I mean, he had a really nice trip, and he just wasn't able to get by the B team. And I know the one horse Classic Causeway came out and won the Belmont Derby, but then that was a little flukish as well when he just got to walk the dog on the lead on a real fast track. And he didn't pick it up at all. You don't usually see... The only guy I ever remember having horses, three-year-olds, that just ran off races and come back was Wayne Lucas in the old days. You could never tell with Wayne. His horses would run a bad race out of nowhere. Didn't bother him one iota. They come back the next race, and they just pick it up. But he looked like he just didn't pick up the bit at all the other day.
No, for whatever reason. I mean, and he still hasn't won a race outside of Florida.
Right. Seth and I were wondering earlier about Taiba and what he does.
You know, obviously, if they have Travers aspirations, he's got to be in someone else's barn. And that owner is very loyal to Bob.
Yeah.
So, but also, Bob loves, you know, he loves to race in the big races.
Yeah. I mean, the race fits for him. I'm just not sure what the penalty entails, and obviously the horse went back to him and it would be going to a different trainer for a one race brief period of time, and I don't know if I don't know the parameters of the suspension.
Right, can he keep doing that, going back and forth?
If it was a normal suspension, that's what would happen. He would go to another trainer, but under this, I really don't know, and I looked it up to try to see if I could find where it was. There was nothing really stated publicly as to movement of horses and running under other trainers' names. I know that John Terranova's got one for him, but the horse has been here, too.
Pinehurst.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came in, Tanya told me, I think he came in maybe 10 days ago.
Right.
And I talked to Jack Wolf and I talked to Tom Ryan about it. Well, they wanted him to run. They wanted him to run here. So it's got to be a tough situation for Bob too. I mean, he got persecuted for. I mean, I don't agree with what's going on in New York. I mean, he's never had a positive in New York.
Right.
It's like a win is that. I'm not saying that. But to me, the New York thing is wrong.
It is funny that, as you say, there wasn't anything in New York in particular,
And, you know, he's racing out in California. So, yeah.
He raced in Jersey.
Yeah. And it does seem like it's not fair or right, though, if you do have the suspension in New York, if the horse can just kind of go back and forth and have a different trainer for kind of one race and then go. That doesn't quite seem fair either. But as you say, I'm not sure what the exact rules are
right
on that.
Maybe there's something we missed that we don't know.
Personally, I'd like to see him in the race. He's an improving. Yeah. I'll be honest, I had my doubts about the horse. I wasn't that impressed with the Santa Anita Derby. I was impressed he was able to do it in his second start. But the horses that ran in the Santa Anita Derby, I mean, they haven't done. I mean, Messier hasn't. He ran terrible in the Derby. Hasn't run back since. The other horses really didn't do anything else. So, and I was willing to throw his Derby out. But he impressed me. I thought he ran really well, and he was still coming at the end. I mean, he may have got beat on the bob, but to me, he's a horse that might be one of the guys that's getting ready to move forward because he is so lightly raced. And we haven't even talked about Charge It. To look like Secretary.
Todd was saying that.
Yeah, that win could set him up for an interesting second half of the year. He could firmly go into. He entered the conversation, but he could move up pretty quickly now. With again the scenario you've been talking about, where somebody wins 1 week, 2 weeks later it's another one winning. So if he could string a race or two together after what we saw last time.
Well, Todd was telling me that was the first when Charger won by 23 lengths. He said it's the first time he's ever looked at the Secretariat poll that they have down there at Belmont. You know, as Charger, you know, to. Because he said he'd never done that before. But then again, he's never had a horse that did what Charge It did. I mean, it's it's obvious that Todd has a lot of confidence in him when he went right to the Florida Derby off that maiden race. And you know, second in the Florida Derby, but he was green in the stretch. He ran like a drunken sailor coming in, and he has shown plenty of talent. And they have always loved this horse. And you know, for him to say, "Well, we're just going to we don't need another race after we're going to train him up to the Travers," I think this horse has a ton of ability. You know, he could be the favorite, I guess, couldn't he?
He's coming off a 23 length of destruction.
Yeah.
It's a tough task, though. I mean, what Todd's doing with him, I understand why he's doing it, because the horse ran such a monstrous race and wanted to give him time in between, which is what you guys do these days. But it's hard to stretch from a mile to a mile and a quarter. And he's another horse I think is a great example of, we saw him get learn his lessons in the races, the Florida Derby. By all rights, if he had run straight in the Florida Derby, he probably would have won. And the Kentucky Derby was the same thing, kind of as Taba, just was such a lightly raced horse, so green to be asking him to do that. It's just difficult to get a good trip in the Derby. And this year's Derby was nuts, the way it turned out. I mean, I don't know who had the future book on the UAE Derby horses dueling like they're Groovy and Phone Trick out there. But Charge is certainly a talented horse. But
it's going to be an interesting, four weeks now after the Jim Dandy. And I mean, the Jim Dandy's only going to be, what, five?
Yeah. And if someone goes and blows that field out of the drawers, you know, like that, then all of a sudden they're going to be a factor.
Yeah. It's every week, like you're right. It's every week, whatever happens in that week. So
even the Curlin, you know, there's some decent horses in there. Just a lot of them playing catch up.
Last horse that won the Curlin, was it Jimmy Jerkin's horse that won the trip? VE Day, did he win the Curlin?
Might have been.
I thought was it VE Day that won the Curlin that won the trip?
That's a good question. I don't remember that. But you may be right there.
Is Ether or Rogue going to run into Jim Dandy?
Well, when I was at Wayne's office the other day, he said to me, "Which race should I run in?" I said, "Run in the Curlin." But I think he's running the Jim Dandy.
No, I don't mean this.
I'm looking at the stakes nomination PPs for the Whitney, and again, talking about the early part of the season, setting up the second part of the season in Saratoga. Life is Good versus Olympiad is another one of the showdowns that will be a highlight of the Saratoga season this year.
I'll take Life is Good all day, every day. I think that's a phenomenal horse.
I think a lot of people are right with you, and off of what he did last time, I could not argue much with that, but Olympiad certainly has looked good so far this year, 5-for-5 for Bill Mott. After you go back and he had that freakish second to Baby Yoda last year, and Baby Yoda could never quite validate that, but he went on Olympiad after finishing second with also a triple-digit buyer in that race. He has kind of validated that performance now as a four-year-old.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He doesn't have a grade one, does he?
The Foster was the grade two. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have a grade one.
Very talented horse, for sure. But put a gun to my head, I'm taking Life is Good.
Yeah, he's a good example of what happens when you race your horses.
Yes, he is.
He's gotten better and better and better. And what's he had, 5 starts this year?
Olympiad's 5-for-5.
Yeah, he's run 5 times. So, and he's gotten better. It's not like he's tailing off. He's getting better.
Another one of those 4-year-olds that, like Life is Good, the 4-year-old crop this year. As 3-year-olds last year, they got promising at the end of the year, but man, they have really come forward this year. The 4-year-olds have just been phenomenal from last year.
It would have been so cool if Flightline would have come for this rather than stay out in California. I understand why they're out in California. I get that. But, Veronis's are out there, and that's home base for John Sadler. But racing would salivate over a Whitney matchup with Life is Good and Flightline. I would.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Hopefully they both
stay sound and
stay on the same course.
Yes.
It'll make that... Add all the 3-year-olds in, it'll make an interesting race.
It'll be a very
Who knows, the Japanese might send somebody over.
Hey, and the way they're going, you can't discount anything they do now. I mean, it used to be that it was an immediate toss. Now it's like, you got to pay serious attention to everything they bring.
Flightline is also going to have to validate himself at the distance out in Southern California. That's going to add a wrinkle to that race that's going to make that interesting. And then, maybe being separated this time of year, maybe it makes the eventual showdown even more intriguing. I wish it was here, but...
I'm guessing that you're not going to get a large crew facing off against Frontline Del Mar in the Pacific Classic. I don't even know who's the best older horse in California.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Country Grammar's still out there?
He's pointing for San Diego.
So that would be.
I believe he's pointing. So
would that be a prep for him for the class for the Pacific Classic?
That's a good question.
And I think a Red Mandaloon might be headed to the San Diego too.
Yeah.
Which typically is a prep for the Classic. So it would be interesting.
A lot of maneuvering when you have to come. Yeah. Did you look at the stake today?
Honorable Miss.
The Honorable Miss. Do you have any feelings on that race?
I mean, Bella Sophia trying to win this race back. You can't knock anything that she's done. But I really like Wesley Ward's horse, Kamari. And she just never got at the running. Or was the race usually closer? She'll be second choice, but, and I'm going to take a slight shot and put an upset. That's my pick would be Kamari to beat Bella Sophia. Are you a Bella Sophia bandwagoner? You like Bella?
I don't. I don't not like her. I just think that at 1-2, I don't see her. You would normally expect a 1-2 shot on the morning line to be head and shoulders better than the field.
Right.
She's probably a little bit better than Frank's Rocket. Yeah. She's probably a length better than Kimara, and the mystery, the Ohio horse, is a complete mystery horse. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she's beatable. She's certainly the deserving highway and the deserving favorite. I just don't know that it's going to be a little bit of a tricky race in that the Ohio horse, you assume, from the post three is going to go to the lead. So do they go head-and-head with her? Do they let her clear, try to get outside of her? And what's Pratt do on Frank's Rocket? I mean, he's kind of got to send that from the rail.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he's going to be stuck in behind. And it's just, to me, it's kind of an interesting race in that it's not readily apparent how the race is going to set up.
Definitely a jockey's race for this in this one, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of decisions to be made when, as soon as those gates open.
Yeah, anytime you get a four-horse field.
Well, we've had a lot of those.
And it becomes kind of a jockey's race. And strange, strange things can happen.
Look at the Shoe V.
Yeah.
Joel Rosario cruises the inside. He's a hero. If he gets through, if he gets blocked, everybody says, what's he going to the rail on a four-horse field for?
True.
Such is the life of a jockey.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like we may be headed to winding up here because there's a commercial break coming, and I actually think I hear the music playing in the background. So we will wrap it up. Tim, thanks for the visit.
Seth, thank you. Chuck, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tim.
Seth Merrill and Chuck Simon filling in for Steve Bick. Steve will be back tomorrow. Appreciate his giving us the opportunity. Chuck, you can find the Going in Circles podcast. He also has the Substack Written Word, the Saratoga blog you can check during the racing day. So by all means, do that at Cannon Shell on Twitter, correct? I'm at Seth Merrill, too, on Twitter. You can catch me on Capital OTB TV, 9 a.m. for the Handicappers Board, 10 a.m. for Racing Across America, most racing days, and that streams on the Capital OTB YouTube channel as well if you're in various parts of the country. We'd love to have you check in with us. Thanks to Joe Clancy, thanks to Dick Powell, Kim Weir, Tony Kahlo, John Shapazian, and Tim Wilkin. Take it away. Tomorrow, Steve Bick is back. Thanks for tuning in today.
So, it's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The nine-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick five with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm for our